Are you guys there?
Are you guys there?
Here we go. Blog Talk Radio.
Anonymous show. Oh, somebody is calling in. If I can have my panelists maybe turn down the sound on their computer, and we won't get so much feedback. But welcome to the Dr. Anonymous show, where we go beyond the blog to bring you the brightest stars in the medical blogosphere. I am Dr. Anonymous, and I am your dancing queen. You can find me at dranonymous.com. Today is Thursday, February 14th, 2008. It is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. It is 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The temperature here in the beautiful Buckeye State is feels like 20 degrees Fahrenheit and minus 7 degrees Celsius. Tonight we have a very, very special show for you. Let me see if Dr. Val is here. Val, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome. So we have Dr. Val. Welcome, Dr. Val.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I do hear some feedback, though.
Yeah. I don't know who has the feedback. I don't know if somebody has their computer sound on. If somebody does, maybe check that out.
Yeah, I think I have mine off, so.
Mine is off as well.
Yep, mine's off too.
This might be an interesting show then.
Astrofest in the Grand Canyon. Woo!
Exactly. Well, I've heard other shows this week with some feedback, so we may have to deal with that. So, Jenny's here from Chronic Babe. Welcome. Welcome.
Hey, everybody.
And Crazy Girl is here.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So, let me take care of some business before we get started. I want to thank Block Talk Radio for featuring the show tonight on their front page, and for Dr. Val for being the face of the show this evening.
How did that happen? I didn't even volunteer for that.
So I want to welcome everybody who's listening to the show for the first time. I also want to welcome readers from the blogs of our panelists. If you've never heard the show before, welcome. Our phone number here is 646-716-6000. 9514, which probably nobody can hear because of the feedback. We have 8 people in the chat room. So say hello to everybody in the chat room, everybody.
Hey, chat room.
Hi, chat room.
The Peanut Gallery. Hello.
And as always, I'm streaming live on ustream.tv. So you ladies like the tie?
I was just thinking that I was very, very underdressed for this. So I was glad I didn't have my video camera on.
This is Jenny, and I'm feeling pretty underdressed as well. But there's no camera on me, so you're right. I love it. I think Dr. Anonymous looks foxy.
Hmm. Yeah.
I thought you were going to have a feather boa.
that's in the back.
The sparkly tie will do.
So is that for the end with the bounce corner music?
If the show had a lull, then I was going to pull that out.
My goodness.
Before we get started, I did want to talk about our future guest. 1 week from tonight, we will have TBTAM, the Block at 8, Manhattan.blogspot.com, OBGYN physician. Very excited about that. And on February 28th, we will have Dr. Doug Borrego. He is from placebojournal.com. He is a family doc and a funny man. He has a good bloat website, so I encourage you to check that out. So... is this feedback really annoying people? It's kind of annoying me.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, maybe if all of us panelists hung up and called in fresh again. I don't. Is that possible?
Yeah, well, why don't we try that? And if that doesn't help, then I may have to call back in. So.
Okay. Okay.
You...
So we'll hang up and call back in. Does that sound good, ladies?
Yep. Good. Yeah.
We'll do. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
We'll take a little musical interlude.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along.
I'm still hearing feedback. It's not good.
Hey, it's Jenny. I'm back.
Yeah, it's Emily. I'm back too, and I'm hearing it as well.
All right,
yeah, Dr. Val's hearing it.
Let me call back in here. Everybody, talk about yourself.
Okay.
So was it him? Nope. I'm still hearing feedback.
Oh, can we hear feedback now? Everybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, I hear it too. So maybe it's something on their line from Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's so sad.
Okay, we'll work with it.
Work with it.
We'll be flexible.
We'll be flexible.
Are we good?
All right. Trying again. Oh, I'm still hearing it. Oh. So Val knows all about my technical problems. So, but we
well,
will.
We'll be flexible tonight, huh?
We'll journey onward. So, to get things started here, why don't we kind of go around the table and maybe just kind of introduce yourself to the fans out there and tell them about your blog and tell them who you are. So why don't we start with the Crazy Girl. Go ahead and go first.
Of course. I heard you first, right?
Of course.
My real name is Emily. I have been blogging for, God, probably 4 or 5 years now. I actually took my blog to a non-anonymous kind of status. I felt like I wasn't really being true to who I was by writing about what I did, you know, kind of trying to keep myself a little bit hidden. I'm a flight nurse in Michigan. I'm also an emergency room nurse practitioner, and I'm also a critical care nurse in the Army Reserve. So kind of my basis is a very broad brush, but I'm really, really starting to hone in on the flight nursing portion of it, not only because it's kind of a sexy job, but it gives me a lot to talk about as well. So I have quite a few soapboxes, and one of them is kind of trying to change the face of nursing. A lot of people look at nursing and think, and I know I'll probably offend somebody, but fat, frumpy, and fisty. And that's not where nursing needs to be, and that's not what it is. So that's kind of my blog and who I am. So.
And you've recently started some video blogging, which I'm very curious about. How's that going?
That's actually going very well. Mark, my multimedia person, and I, who Mark happens to be another flight nurse that I work with, we did another entry the other day, and we're actually, I'm pretty pleased with it. It should be up on my blog right now, crzegrl.net. But we were having a little difficulty with that, too, so I think the whole gremlin of Dr. Anonymous rolled over into my blog too today, so
okay.
I'll just blame it on you.
Hey, I'm there for you.
Well, since you're the one who got started with a video blog, it's only appropriate, right?
Jenny, where'd you go next? Chronic Babe is the med gadget. Best patient blog of the year for 2007. Congratulations for that.
Oh, thanks. We were so honored to be voted that way. We have a pretty big readership. I started Chronic Babe a few years ago based on my own experiences as a young woman with chronic illness and trying to come up with a resource that was not super nerdy and not super technical, but more about personality and about living a full life no matter how sick you are. So it's all about being a babe, not just about being a patient. And we write about all different kinds of stuff, from dating and fashion to relationships and career and finances. And, we're kind of a no-holds-barred site for that stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, great. Great. And then Dr. Val and the Voice of Reason, the best new blog of the year for 2007. Congratulations on that.
Thanks, Dr. Anonymous. I'm really happy to be on the show today. I hope everyone can hear us clearly. This is an unexpected technical glitch, right? But my blog is Dr. Val and the Voice of Reason at revolutionhealth.com. And I'm a physiatrist by training. I trained at Columbia. So PM&R is my specialty. I don't know too many other PM&R bloggers out there, so I feel pretty special and unique. My blog is dedicated to patients. I always keep them in mind as I write my blog posts. I think my blog is one of the few that's written by a doctor but written for a consumer or lay audience, so that makes it a little bit different too. I take on all kinds of different issues, from healthcare reform to health news to personal stories and little quirky things about me and what happens with my weight loss group and all kinds of fun stuff like that. So it's pretty diverse, I think, and I have a fun time writing it. I hope a few people like reading it, and I'm certainly glad to be here.
Now, Val, you are kind of, I'm attributing you, you are responsible, I think, for this festival we call Estrofest. Maybe tell everybody kind of how the show happened.
Well, I think, Dr. A, you have to admit that I'm probably your number one groupie. I've been with you from the very first show. I'm a big fan of yours. I love your blog. I love your voice and tone. Very accessible and very patient-friendly. And so I've been listening into all of your shows. I've loved them. But I've noticed a certain trend, and that is, you know, towards the end, it seems like a bunch of guys talking about Viagra or, you know, things will start to sort of disintegrate after a while, and the voice of testosterone tends to take over. So I just thought it would be fun to get some ladies together to sort of inject the Blog Talk Radio show with some estrogen to balance things out, because, you know, after all, men and women together are a great team.
Love it. Love it.
Well, great. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start from Val's list here with the first question I'm going to throw out to the panel. Welcome to the view. No, I'm just kidding. And her question number 10 here, how do men and women differ in their way they handle patients? What did you mean by that, Val?
Well, I think that male and female doctors have slightly different styles, and I thought it might be fun to talk about it and see, you know, both what Jenny might feel from her perspective is sort of some of the differences that she's seen between men and women doctors, and I thought maybe we could see if there are trends and to learn from one another and become a little bit more like one another so that we're well-balanced.
Well, I mean, I'd say from the patient perspective, and gosh knows, I have a lot of doctors. So I have a lot of perspective. I have men and women on my team. And for anybody listening or, you know, I have fibromyalgia, asthma, Raynaud's phenomenon, anxiety, GERD. So, I mean, I have a fleet of doctors. And you know, I guess from my perspective so far, it has been that the women just tend to take a little more time in the appointments. You know, I know everybody's rushed, and even when I see specialists these days, I feel like even they are rushing more than they were, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, because I know the pressure's on. Doctors all the time that scoot their patients through. But I have found almost universally that women doctors seem to exude a vibe of just more patience for spending that extra moment or two with the patient, you know, to get to know them on a little bit more personal level. But I'd say the only exception to this rule that I've found is in gynecologist. And I have a male gynecologist, and he's actually incredibly patient and takes a lot of time with me every appointment. But he's been the exception. And I'm not complaining because I don't stick with a doctor who I don't like. So I'm not saying that, you know, all male doctors are, you know, quick to scoot us through. But it's a slight difference that I've noticed over the years. But I may be biased.
So, Crazy Girl, you have any thoughts on this?
Actually, I agree. As a patient, I tend to gravitate more towards GPs that are female. And quite frankly, right now, I see a physician assistant who's female, and she's wonderful. But from a professional standpoint, it's been very interesting for me lately because a couple of the female physicians that I fly with are all about 5'2" or 5'3", look like they are about 15 with blonde hair. So when I show up on a really bad accident scene, I'm about 5'8" and tend to be a little bit more aggressive than they do. A lot of times I have to explain to someone as we walk in, even in an inter-facility transport, this is Dr. So-and-so. So I really have to be careful professionally how I approach things that way to make sure that whatever scene or whatever inter-facility transport we go on flows correctly. But yeah, definitely as a patient, the female physicians that I have dealt with have tended to be a little bit more nurturing. But on the flip side of that, I've had some orthopedic trauma surgeons that have also shown some of those qualities at times, too. So not that I would ever tell any of them that. But, yeah, I completely agree.
There was an interesting article today on the CNN website about doctor and patient relationships, and it was interesting. I mean, it's, you know, just shopping around and even doing things like you know, checking out on the internet, and that's something. These are some new things that are out now that you know, haven't been there in the past. So I think it's an interesting way to having patients be advocates for their own health. And I think that's an interesting turn on choosing a healthcare provider these days.
Well, you know, at chronicbabe.com, that's something that we've talked about about from the beginning of the blog. I've actually had a couple of writers come in and do guest pieces on, like Lori Edwards, who is a really excellent blogger. She does the chronicdose.com. And she wrote a piece about how meeting doctors is like, you know, going on a first date. And she compared the things that you do, the kind of romantic dance that goes back and forth between, you know, non-romantic with the doctors, obviously, but you know what I mean. That kind of let's feel each other out thing. And, you know, I've advocated for years, and I'll tell this to every person that I meet who asks me that you're a consumer. I mean, this, whether we like it or not, it's a consumer business. And I'm a customer, and the doctor is a provider of service, and I have a right to get the kind of service that I'm looking for. So that means being well-informed and being an advocate for myself. And if I can't be an advocate for myself, then bringing someone along with me to appointment to help me do that when I'm incapacitated for some reason. And that's something I've pushed for years. I'm sure I'm not alone in that too. So
yeah, along those lines, maybe I'll move to the next question here. And I know Jenny and I have kind of talked about this a little bit before, but when it comes to chronic illness and chronic disease, who do you think would deal with it better, male doctors or female doctors?
Mm.
Or does it matter, or is it just specific to a person?
As a patient, I mean, for me, I don't know if there's a distinction because actually some of my I call them Team Jenny, and like I joke that they all need T-shirts. Some of them have been with me for 10, 12, 13 years. But, you know, I have a lot of men on my team. My pain doctor is a man. My general physician is a man. My biofeedback trainer that I see like every once in a while is a man. You know, and they're great. I mean, they understand the idea of chronic illness, and they're really patient, and they know there's an ebb and flow with some of the stuff I'm dealing with. And so I don't know. I don't know if there's a difference between men and women when they doctors, you know, caregivers really in terms of how they handle chronic illness. But I'm curious to hear what the other ladies think.
This is Dr. Bell. I guess I'll start.
Yeah, go ahead.
Boy, the feedback is really tough, huh? So I have a feeling that if we use the dating analogy, that, you know, if you're looking for that connection with your doctor, and it's sort of the way you're looking for a connection with a significant other, and you know, there's always someone out there for everyone. And I have a feeling that even, you know, everyone has different personality types, and different personality types groove well with others. And, you know, I've seen some male doctors who have a sort of tough love attitude, and some guys love that. They just love it. I mean, you know, the doctor will say, you know, you're wrong, and you shouldn't listen to that, and you're just being crazy, and you need to suck it up, and you need to do this. And I feel hurt when they say things like that. I think, oh, my goodness, you're too harsh. But the guys are just thrilled. They love it. And, you know, so I don't think there's any right or wrong way to go about expressing yourself, or, you know, if you really care about your patients and you express it through your own personality, that's fine. You know, it's just a matter of sort of finding the doctor that really you relate to and feel comfortable with, so that you can get the best care and really connect with them and make sure that your story is fully told, so that they can give you the right diagnosis and treatment.
Yeah, this is crazy girl. I've seen a lot of my physicians and even myself in my own practice, that depending on who my patient is, I really change how I approach that person. I think when you pay attention to your patient, you kind of get a feel of what they need to hear. I've had sweet little ladies that I've gone in when I worked as an orthopedic trauma nurse practitioner. I'd go in their room and almost get a little mean with them because they just didn't want to be out of bed. And for some reason, it would trigger something in their head, and they'd get up and get moving. So as a patient, there are certain things I need to hear at different times. So I guess I would be looking for someone who had that perception and had that intuitiveness to them, as opposed to just being a bulldog and rolling ahead, and if they were in a bad mood, that's how they treated you.
Yeah, I think really it's about like what both of you had said, finding the personality of someone that fits with you. And you know, I mean, I've had women doctors in my time who've been complete bitches, just to be honest, who've really like been really awful to me. I mean, the first doctor that I went to who actually diagnosed my fibromyalgia was really harsh and really, really careless with me. I was so fragile and so upset and confused. And she literally handed me a pamphlet and said, "You're going to have to take Advil and get ready for a life of pain." Now, so that's a woman saying that, a young woman. I was 25 at the time. And now I have a male rheumatologist and pain doctor who are so patient with me and really understanding and really want to work with me to figure out solutions for my pain. And so, I mean, there's you know, there's a difference, but I also think different doctors and caregivers are going to treat different patients differently. Like, I'm really confident that, you know, that my cognitive behavioral therapist, for example, probably works really different with me than she does with patient B or patient C or patient D. You know what I mean? There's got to be some flexibility on the physician's, you know, the caregiver side. I don't want to be so, like, physician-centric, but the caregiver side of how they treat people.
If you're just joining us, we're broadcasting from the bottom of a cave. I am your favorite caveman, Dr. Anonymous. We have our guests, Dr. Val, Jenny, and Crazy Girl. If you would like to join Echo Fest, the number is 646-716-9514. Please show us some love on Valentine's Day. Call us and say hello. Let me open this up here a little bit. Valentine's Day. Let's talk Valentine's Day. You know, I'm wearing red. I'm ready. Of course, it's the end of Valentine's Day, but I guess that's kind of a moot point now. I don't know. Any thoughts on Valentine's Day?
Love the one you're with.
Every day is Valentine's Day if you're with the right person.
That's what my husband tells me.
I kind of live by one of my mantras is tell those around you that you love them every day. Partly just because of my job, and I see so many tragic accidents and, you know, those 50-year-olds that go down to an MI and had no idea. So I, between that and all my friends in Iraq right now, I always take the time to do that. So there's my serious Valentine's Day note for today.
That's great. That's a great tip. Great advice. Great advice.
I'll take it to the sex place.
Somebody.
You know, if we're going to talk about Valentine's Day and we're going to talk about chronic illness or any illness, any medical care, I think that one of the things that gets neglected a lot in just general health care is the importance of sexual health. And, you know, it's Valentine's Day. A lot of people are getting it on today. For some people, this might be one of the few days a year they get to do that. But, you know, for a lot of people out there with chronic illness or, you know, no illness, whatever, you know, good, healthy sex life without shame is really powerful and can actually have, like, medical benefits and, you know, beyond the momentary benefit, so to speak.
Momentary benefit. Great.
Oh, I see Grunt Doc is giving a question mark. Oh, no.
With that, we actually have a caller who is joining Echo Fest here. Hello, welcome to Echo Fest. Who is this?
Hello, dear. It's your mother.
Oh. Nurse Ratched, hi.
Hello.
Right on cue.
Hi, Nurse Ratched.
Hello, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
I'm sure you have some thoughts on Valentine's Day and intimacy and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, sweetie. Valentine's Day has always been a very special day to me. I've had a lot of really interesting events in my life on Valentine's Day. I was engaged once to a man who told me on Christmas we weren't going to get married. And so he hadn't moved out by Valentine's Day, so I threw all of the stuff in a snowdrift. I love Valentine's Day. It's very liberating.
You did what?
What?
No.
I was engaged
on Valentine's Day.
Yes, I was living in a two flat in Chicago with a gentleman. We were engaged for a very long time, and he broke my heart on Christmas. Never tell a woman you're not getting married before she goes to work on a 16-hour shift on Christmas.
You have a
long memory. So he hadn't moved out by Valentine's Day, so I called my landlord, who lived on the first floor apartment of our two flats, and I told him, do not go outside. I opened up the window of our second floor apartment and threw the guy's stuff out into a snowdrift.
And how much stuff are we talking about here?
It was a three-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
Whoa.
My landlord pulled his lazy boy chair up to his front window and watched the stuff fly out the front window.
Wow.
So today when my husband forgot to get me a Valentine's Day card, and he's a good guy. He's just absent-minded. But he does know the cautionary tale of Valentine's Day from the last guy we're going to get married to. He kind of blushed. And he went out and got me a car and he asked me if I was going to, if he was going to find any of his property out in the front yard when he came home.
Huh.
No, I told him he was okay, but I did suggest jewelry when he came home today. You ask.
Like I'm going to defend that. I'm like the man target. See? Right there. I got the target on my head. Oh, man. So do you have any other Valentine's Day memories that you'd like to share with us?
We usually get a huge influx of patients in during Valentine's Day or the day after. Broken hearts, bad memories. Of course, some people don't need much of an excuse to come in because their life kind of suck anyway. And it's just one more reminder to them that things aren't going well, you know. So I did get a phone call today from one of my girlfriends at work asking if I would work on call today. I have a feeling things are going to get busy tonight. Why are we having this horrible echo tonight?
Yeah, I know. I apologize about that. I think Blog Talk Radio is sabotaging me.
They're out to get you.
Yeah, I think they're out to get me.
It's the man. They don't like all the ladies.
they didn't even say it was my show or anything there. So I'm thinking they're not liking me is what it is.
You know, we have medication for that.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure what to say about that. Oh.
So what did you do on Valentine's Day?
I had a pretty good day. That's all I'm going to say.
No one threw your stuff out in the yard?
Nobody threw my stuff out in the yard. Wow, dead air. Oh, that's great. Now that the show has come to a screeching halt. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I figure I have 4 dates right now, so I think I'm doing pretty good.
Woohoo! Woo! It's a five-layer.
Yeah. So.
You know, I still want to set you up with someone.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would be my type? Let me ask the panel here. Who do you think would be my type?
Oh my gosh.
You were talking about dead air earlier.
Doctor,
you're
talking
about
married?
Me. We're not talking about you guys.
You know, I don't know if I know you well enough to know your type.
Just make up something, it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's a show, come on.
I think you need someone who's high energy, very creative, would have to be organized, because a doctor's life can be very all over the place from time to time. And someone with a great sense of humor, because being a nurse, I've had to call doctors at all hours of the night, and really, if a girlfriend or wife or mistress doesn't have a good sense of humor about those phone calls, it can get real ugly.
I would vote yes on the sense of humor. I say that for everyone.
Wow.
Dr. A, I think I would also add to that that you need someone who is really sweet and kind and good-natured, because I think you are too.
I definitely vote you need someone who's going to spoil you rotten, because I think you're a nice guy.
Oh, that's nice.
I'll throw in there independent. Because anyone who's married to a physician is going to have to have their own life. And number two, to be a blogger on top of that, I know how much my husband, when he is in the same state I'm in, always comes in and says, "Are you still behind your computer?" So.
I will second that and third that, because I get that question all the time. But then my husband's a film critic, and he is always on his computer as well. So, yeah, sense of humor and a bit of patience thrown in. Not patience with a TS, but with an NCE.
Oh, yes, and doctor, I have two daughters that are still single. Let me know.
Oh, man.
I'd love to have another doctor in the family.
Well, let me ask this question, and I know Val will probably want to chime in on this. So let's talk stereotypes. Let's talk doctor's spouse. What are the stereotypes out there for the doctor's wife or the doctor's spouse or the doctor's husband? That's an always interesting topic to talk about.
The stereotype of what a doctor's spouse is like?
Yeah.
Well, I think when I started out about 35 years ago, the typical stereotype of the doctor's wife was a spoiled, pampered woman who went to the country club all the time. I actually did know a lot of people like that when I was in nursing school. But as time progressed, the spouses tended to become more independent and were going back to school and having their own careers. I think it just kind of changed as time went on.
And, you know, as a patient, I have no idea what they're like, really, because it's not really appropriate for me to meet their spouses or partners or significant others. So I don't know if I can speak to that, except for the one couple I know where they're both doctors. So I don't, you know, double whammy. I don't know what to say about that. Lovely people, really incredible people, but, you know, they're both each other's spouses and they're both doctors.
And one time I had to call the home of a dual couple like that, and I spoke to their 5-year-old son, and I asked to the doctor, and he goes, "Well, which one, Dr. Mommy or Dr. Daddy?" Well, what do you think your stereotype has been like?
Oh, it's not about me. I'm the one asking the questions here.
No, you're not off the hook, Daddy.
didn't we talk about this last week on how you needed to be a guest on your own show?
Yeah, well, see, it's my show and I'm the host. It's a big psychoanalysis about me because, you know, I think I have some control issues, and I think I'm working through those, but this is still my show, and I'm still the one asking the question.
Okay, boss.
Oh, I don't know about stereotypes. I mean, it's what people see in media. You know, it's interesting. You know, you see the TV shows, you see movies. You know, and interesting to ask. You know, people like high school students, college students. You know, what is the typical doctor's spouse supposed to be like? And that'd be an interesting survey because it's like anything else. It's not like any other stereotypes that are out there.
Definitely.
Let's see. I'm going back to the question list.
Okay, we see you pointing at us.
this is from Val's list. This is number eight. What's the one thing that most guys whom you work with or who you don't work with should work on? How about that?
Wow. Who wants to start?
Please,
on that?
Anybody can just jump in. This is Estrofest Echo Fest.
Repeat the question. I couldn't hear it.
What's the one thing that most guys whom you work with should work on?
Well, you know, as a writer, as a self-employed writer, I spend a lot of time at home by myself. So I don't have a lot of guys that I work with. But I do run a networking group for independent creatives here in Chicago, and you know, I think most of the guys that I work with still tend to kind of segregate in some way. You know, kind of just hang with themselves and are a little bit shy to get to know new women when they meet in a professional setting. They kind of tend to clump, whereas the women are rotating around the room. And maybe that's just a natural kind of women networking thing, or I don't know. But they tend to isolate into little clumps. Maybe we intimidate them. Maybe we're too awesome and intense for them.
There we go. Yeah. I feel like Dr. Drew. Let's build on that. Yeah. Well, what do other people have to say?
I come from a very different background when it comes to that. After being in the Army for so long, I'm just used to working in a very male-dominated type of atmosphere. One thing I will say, though, we were talking about stereotypes earlier, and I'll kind of tie into that. There are a lot of nursing stereotypes that I think trickle over in a lot of different ways. I went from the East Coast to working back in a fairly small town in Michigan, comparatively, and the surgeons that I was working with would refer to their staff, include nurses, you know, talking about a professional group, as you know, call the girls at the office. And I got to tell you, I about throttled one of them. However, he looks like Paul Senior on Orange County Chop. With the same kind of mentality, he swung a mallet in the ortho or OR. So, but I was very, very surprised at how some of the physicians, especially in this area, still looked at the nurses and expected them to stand up and get out of their seat. And being who I am, I obviously don't tolerate that at all. And it took, actually my sister works with the same group, she's also a nurse, and she walked into the OR, and about the time they tried doing that to her, she put an end to it very quickly and then stopped. So I think there needs to be more of an awareness on how we kind of approach each other professionally from different groups. So that'll be my take on you know what they should work on. So I don't know, Dr. Val, you guys.
Yeah.
Help me out here.
You can't make too many generalizations because obviously everyone is unique and different, and this doesn't hold true for all guys. But there is a tendency, I think, for guys to be a little bit task-oriented, and sometimes when they're going through an algorithm, they're sort of missing the patient or missing the person who's with them because they're really focused on the task at hand. And sometimes I find it, you know, sort of reminding them that, hello, the patient is here, you know, and let's talk nicely now with them, and that sometimes helps. I guess I would love to see, as we were sort of talking about earlier, just the human side be emphasized with the guys and for them to have a heart. I mean, I remember when I was rotating through a vascular surgery rotation as a medical student that, you know, every morning at 4:30 or so we would do rounds, and I would chase them around with a bucket, and I would sort of wrap up the wounds when they unwrapped them to see if how they were doing vascular-wise and stuff. And they would just sort of march into a patient's room, flip on the light, they were fast asleep, and just tear the sheet off them to sort of demonstrate how their leg looked or whatever to the rest of us. And sometimes the patients weren't even in clothes. I mean, they were naked, you know? And, like, they were just so focused on the wound and unwrapping it and just showing it quickly to everybody, making sure it wasn't infected or whatever, that, you know, they would expose people's private parts in the middle of the night, you know, and, you know, I would have to stop and say, well, let me just cover this poor guy up here. You know, and I don't think that would be as common amongst female surgeons. I don't think they would do that, but I could be wrong. But you know, so there's that sensitivity that they could work on. I think.
You guys are too nice.
Really?
You just say, guys don't listen. They're focused. Tunnel vision. They don't know what they're doing. I just want to get to the answer. Do I have to speak to you guys? You know, just, hey, come on. You know,
good translation.
Hey, you know, if anybody out there wants to join Estrofest, the number is, I'm going to say it slow because of the echo, 646-716-9514. Please join the fun. Say hi, hello. Yeah, you guys are too nice tonight. I don't know what the deal is. Jeez, I was just hoping this for you guys just to kind of just say, hey, those guys, they don't know nothing.
Oh, trust me, we do that too.
Maybe if I left the room.
We're trying to teach you something, Dr. A. We're trying to teach you a new way of talking about difficulties. Be nice about it. See, we're living what we say.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me sneak out of the room, and then you guys can talk for another 20 minutes. It'll probably be very entertaining. Well, let's see. Where to go next? How about anybody on the panel? As far as Estrofest, as far as you know, it's your kind of discussion for the show, or other stuff that you kind of wanted to talk about tonight, other than me.
I wanted to talk about the best and worst pickup lines because I thought that would be really funny for a Valentine's Day theme, and I have some good ones, so I wanted to share them. I'm sure the other ladies have some good ones as well, but you know, this is helpful for guys since we're talking about helping them improve themselves. I'm sure we have work to do too. But
wait a minute, let me write this. I'm task oriented. I have to write this.
Task oriented. Exactly.
Fire away there.
Val. So the very worst pickup line that I ever heard that I still laugh about is I was sitting at a bar in Manhattan. I was waiting for my girlfriends to show up. And, you know, I ordered myself a drink, and I was sitting there, and there were some guys that came up in what must have been, like, velour suits with gold chains, a lot of hair showing, and slicked back hair, Jersey accent. You can imagine. And I was, like, pretending not to see them, and I was sort of staring at my drink very intently, and trying not to look available in any sort of way, but they came up to me and got in my personal space and stared at me until I had to turn to them. And one guy looks at me and he goes, I like your hair. Is it real? And I was
hair.
Just like, oh my gosh, that has to
hair.
Be the absolute worst. I can't think of a worse thing to say.
Wait,
so my jaw just dropped. And I never forgot that because it was so funny. It was such a bad opening line. So take notes, Dr. A and any other guys out there. That's pretty bad. Anyway, gee, there's someone something going on in the chat room there. So let's see. So let's look at what is the best pickup line. So the best pickup line that I heard, again, I was with my girlfriend at a bar, and a guy came up to us. He'd been watching us from across the room. He's very cute, and came up to us and said, "You two look like you're having a really animated conversation. Would you mind if I joined you?" Isn't that good?
Isn't that good?
I like that.
That worked. I ended up dating him.
Oh, really? Oh,
cool. Yeah, for a while.
I actually had, with all my wonderful Army friends, I always used to get the best stories from them when they went out together. One of them loved to use the line. He would come up with just random questions. And one of his favorites to use was he would walk up to a girl and say, "So, what is a pimento?"
Wait, he'd say what? What is what?
He would ask, "What is a pimento?"
Oh, okay.
And I just looked at him oblivious and astounded. And then I asked him, of course, if it worked, and he said once or twice.
Wow.
Crazy. Okay, I have to pause for a second and just say that some crazy action is going on in the chat room, and I don't know what the story is with these folks, but lame.
Yeah, I'm trying to block them out. So.
I see you doing that, so.
Well, let's see. Maybe one of these pleasant people are calling in here. I'll see who this is. Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, who's this?
This is Travis Gale.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good. Hey, you guys. You guys want to hear something totally insane?
Yeah.
I have a show on Blog Talk Radio, and right now we're doing our show, and we can hear your show.
Really?
Yeah, and it's so weird. Like we are talking, but we hear you guys also. But only the two people on the phone, the host, can hear you. No one else can hear us. And it's so weird. And it's like insane.
Wow. Yeah, I don't.
Well, thanks for sending all your guests over to be nasty in our chat room, because that really helps the situation.
Yeah.
I didn't tell them to be nasty. I told them they should go listen to your show, because we can only hear the show. So I said they should listen to them because they can't hear us.
Well, unfortunately, that's not something that we have control over. I mean,
no, I'm not blaming you.
No, yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I wish I could fix it. So,
but anyway, I just wanted to call you guys and tell you that, because we've been listening to you all night.
Oh, well, sorry about that. I apologize about that. Jeez, it's not good for you guys to hear our show, so sorry about that.
That's okay. It's not your fault. I just wanted to, because I've been listening to you, and I wanted to finally meet you.
Well, hey, thanks for the heads up. I appreciate it.
Anyway, you guys have a great night. Great night.
All right, we'll see you later. Wow.
Okay.
Let's see who this is. Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Who's there? Oh, they hung up. Okay. Wow. So this is already the best show ever.
Maybe this is why there wasn't so much estrogen on before, right?
Yeah,
because
we're
invading other shows now.
You're trying to avoid controversy, and now you're just...
You're a lightning rod. What can I say? Oh, my God.
Let me just... I just want to make the, make it clear that all the other shows on Blog Talk Radio, awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So, best shows ever. So if you're actually wanting to listen to another show and you're listening to this show, hey, sorry.
Yeah, we love all the other Blog Talk Radio.
We love all the shows.
We're not trying to mess up anybody.
That's right, yeah. So I apologize about that. I may have to call into their show sometime and just say, hey, sorry. Oh, man.
So apparently my Valentine just logged on to the chat room. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, look at that.
See, we're making connections on the Dr. Anonymous show.
Actually, he lives in Los Angeles, and I live in Michigan, so we do what we can. Technology is a wonderful thing.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm Chuck Rulery. This is Love Connection. Welcome to Love Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Rulery. So why don't you tell us about your sweetie?
Actually, my sweetie works for the federal government. And
love the federal government. Love them.
Love them.
Yeah.
Federal government. I know they have nothing to do with messing up my show tonight.
Very sure.
I promise this year I'll pay my taxes. Really.
You know, Hillary wants to get the Ohio primary election under her belt. Maybe she's doing something here, huh?
Hey, I don't know. But I'm sorry, I interrupted the Chuck Woolery Mormon. So. Tell us about yourself.
God, what can I say? You can't have two people with very ambitious ideas and I don't know, aspirations and have them both live in the same state, apparently. What do you say about your husband? I mean, the guy's amazing. That's why I married him.
Okay, so what's wrong with him? Come on, you can tell us.
He lives too far away.
Is this a geography problem?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Both of us travel so much. Unfortunately, he's as much of a computer nerd as I am, so that helps. Unfortunately, he had to quit blogging because of his job. So, but he happens to also be my biggest fan, so that helps. That helps.
You're so smitten. So smitten.
Yeah, actually, I am. I am. Just don't tell him that.
I can hear it through the radio. Right now. I'm feeling the love, and it's getting me sick, actually. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we're having another Dr. Anonymous therapy moment brought to you by... No, that's nice. Great. How long have you been with them?
Almost 10 years, actually.
10 years?
Mm-hmm. It surprises me. It'll be actually 9 this summer. So I met him while we were both on active duty. So he's actually called my helicopter in to kill bad guys on the top of the hill before. So it's actually a pretty interesting story.
Wow.
Yeah, not many people can say that.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, don't mess with me, Dr. A.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm already afraid of you. I'm frightened.
Your name is Crazy Girl. After
yeah.
Yeah.
For a good reason. I earned that nickname, or it was given to me. I had a friend of mine that's an F-16 pilot. And I met him while we were skydiving, so that just kind of precipitated the... pseudo call sign, I guess. So that's how it stuck.
Okay. So we're getting to the top of the hour now. I think I'm going to be closing up the show here because I just this feedback is just and we're on other shows. So
yeah.
You know, I'm going to have I don't want to check my email box. People are going to be like yelling at me or something like that. So
you mean more than they've already yelled in the chat room?
We'll see. I'll have to give an update on that. But anything else from the panel? Anything else that you wanted to say or to kind of put a bow on it?
I would just throw out there that I think it's great that in the past couple of years we've seen a real shift from almost all male bloggers, especially in the health realm, to a much more balanced perspective now. It's great to see both men and women, and also to see patients and healthcare providers blogging. For me, it's just incredibly refreshing to see that shift. So I guess I would just encourage anybody who hears this broadcast to, you know, get out there, get your voice heard. That's what makes change in our society and in the healthcare system. And, you know, I'm a babe with a laptop, and I reach, you know, almost 1,700 subscribers every other week with my newsletter now, and whoever thought that would happen. So, you know, get out there, make your voice heard.
Anyone else?
We love you, Dr. A.
We do.
We definitely will have to reschedule this because...
we're your groupies.
Oh, absolutely. Groupies.
Yeah, this really doesn't change the fact that we're your groupies, Dr. A. It's totally not your fault. This was a freaky technical glitch that we hadn't encountered before. And, you know, we're always getting thwarted by something or other. But, you know, adversity breeds appreciation and stick-to-itiveness, and I think we all have that. And I also want to agree with Jenny's perspective that it's really neat that we've got many different voices now sort of contributing to this bouquet of blogging that is just wonderful. And I'm thrilled to be a part of it and glad to be here and look forward to the next show.
Yeah, and if you want to have us ladies back on again without Echo Fest, I'm totally up for it.
Yep.
I'll definitely second that.
I'll third it.
Okay. Well, great. So I think I'm going to close up the show here tonight. So I'd like to thank my panel. I'd like to thank Mother Jones for calling in and saving us from ourselves and from the other shows on Blog Talk Radio. I better get off the air some because I'm going to have other shows coming after me. So, but thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Dr. A.
Thank you, Dr. A.
Later,
guys.
We'll talk to you.
Thanks, ladies.
Okay.
Bye.
So, boys and girls, I'm very upset. I can't believe, you know, that you got this echo going and, you know, I'm being listened to on other shows. And I have people yelling at me in the chat room. So I'll definitely have to follow up with Blog Talk Radio and all this stuff. But I did want to thank my guests for being troopers tonight. Dr. Val from the Voice of Reason. Jenny from ChronicBabe.com, CrazyGirl.net, and Mother Jones for calling in. If you actually want to listen to the show again, you can listen to it anytime on DrAnonymous.com or on blogtalkradio.com/DrAnonymous. Next week, we will have in this time slot TBTAM, the blog that ate Manhattan.blogspot.com, a OBGYN physician. And 2 weeks from tonight, we will have Dr. Doug Farrago from Placebo Journal. I will be in the chat room venting after the show, if anybody's going to be around after. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sticking out with me tonight. I am Dr. Anonymous. I am still your dancing queen. We'll see you next week. Good night from the Buckeye State.